Nightbane, the highly anticipated sequel to Alex Astor's TikTok sensation Lightlark, has taken the literary world by storm, selling over 2 million copies in its first month. This dark fantasy romance has captivated readers with its complex love triangle and morally ambiguous protagonist. Even celebrities like Reese Witherspoon and Selena Gomez have publicly praised the series, with Universal Pictures already securing film rights in what industry insiders called one of the largest YA adaptation deals of the decade. What makes this sequel so compelling is how it transforms Isla Crown from Cursebreaker to a woman torn between two powerful rulers while discovering her own devastating secrets. The story begins with Isla Crown experiencing a brush with death after unlocking a hidden vault in the Place of Mirrors, an ancient chamber whose very existence had been shrouded in secrecy for centuries. Inside this mysterious space, raw power churns and whispers in an unknown language that seems to call directly to her marrow, resonating with something deep and primordial within her being. The ancient stones pulse with an otherworldly energy that makes the air thick and electric, while shadowy tendrils of magic dance along the walls. When the massive door suddenly slams shut with supernatural force, it sends her flying across the room like a rag doll, triggering a horrifying vision that unfolds with crystalline clarity. She witnesses bloodied bodies strewn across marble floors, darkness moving like liquid shadow as it devours corpses before turning its hungry attention toward her. Most disturbing is the darkness speaking with Grimm's voice, a sound that manages to be both achingly familiar and terrifyingly wrong, begging her to return to something unnamed. When she finally awakens in Oro's arms, blood streaming from her nose, ears, and eyes, it becomes devastatingly clear that whatever ancient force resides in that vault views her presence as an intrusion. This vault represents more than just a physical space. It symbolizes the locked portions of Isla's identity and memory, the pieces of herself she can sense but cannot access. Like many who feel the weight of forgotten histories, Isla feels inexorably drawn to this dangerous knowledge, even as it violently rejects her presence. The more she learns about her past, the more questions arise, creating a maddening cycle of revelation and mystery. Oro, drawing from ancient wildling lore, suggests she's not ready, that the vault requires a wildling ruler who has fully mastered their abilities, someone capable of channeling and controlling the raw power it contains. This assessment frustrates Isla deeply, who, despite having broken the centuries-old curses that plague the Six Realms, constantly battles feelings of inadequacy and unpreparedness. The relationship between Isla and Oro evolves into something deeper during this period of discovery. He offers to teach her to control her abilities, despite not being a wildling master himself, a fact that speaks to both his dedication and his trust in their connection. Their training sessions become intimate moments of shared vulnerability, with physical tension building between them like static electricity before a storm. When Isla attempts to distract him with a kiss during one particularly challenging lesson, Oro responds by carrying her to bed, only to deposit her there with firm instructions to rest before an upcoming diplomatic dinner, demonstrating his unwavering commitment to prioritizing her well-being over his own desires. This pattern of Oro putting Isla's needs before his own becomes a defining characteristic of their relationship, contrasting sharply with her complicated and often turbulent past with Grimm, whose motivations always seem to serve multiple purposes. The Floating Feast marks the first gathering of representatives from all realms after the curses were broken. Isla arrives dressed in a red metal-woven dress that feels like chainmail, a sword that's more blood than blade, symbolizing her transformation from innocent cursebreaker to powerful ruler. The gathering introduces key players from each realm: golden-haired sunlings, tiny blue-haired skylings, and the controversial moonlings, who arrive late with news they've built ships to unite with their newland. During this diplomatic dinner, we witnessed the complex political landscape of a world recovering from centuries of isolation and suffering. Each realm faces the question of whether their people will return to Lightlark or remain on their newlands, temporary homes created during the curses. Azul, the Skyling ruler, warns of brewing rebellion across all realms, suggesting the breaking of curses hasn't brought the peace everyone hoped for. When questioned about basic information regarding her wildling realm, Isla must admit her ignorance, causing her embarrassment. This moment highlights her imposter syndrome. Despite breaking the curses, she knows almost nothing about the people she's meant to rule. Yet when Marin describes the Starling's suffering and need for leadership, Isla agrees to become their ruler despite her doubts, declaring she'll have a coronation. This decision to step into leadership despite feeling unqualified resonates with anyone who's ever been thrust into responsibility without feeling ready. The feast also introduces the threat of Nightshade attack as Oro announces plans to visit all isles to address grievances and prepare legions against potential invasion. This foreshadowing creates tension that builds throughout the narrative. We know conflict is coming, but not how or when it will manifest. After the feast, Isla confides in Azul about her doubts regarding rulership. His advice is profound. "You always have choices," he tells her, though ruling means putting her people's well-being above her own, a concept Isla finds difficult after all she's endured. This conversation reveals Isla's core conflict, her desire for freedom versus her sense of responsibility. When she visits the Skyling realm with Azur, she witnesses how deeply he connects with his people and their homeland, providing a model of leadership she might aspire to. Isla's coronation day should mark her triumphant acceptance of her role as ruler, but instead becomes a nightmare that reinforces her deepest fears. Standing nervously at the castle steps in a silver dress that feels wrong, as though she's stolen Celeste's identity, Isla faces a crowd with mixed reactions that intensify her self-doubt. Only Oro's steadying presence guides her forward. Just as he places the crown on her head and declares her ruler of Starling, the island violently splits open. Winged reptilian monsters called Drex emerge from the fissure, attacking the crowd despite Oro's fiery barriers. These creatures feast on islanders, resistant to all magical attacks. When one lunges at Isla, it suddenly stops and inspects her. Upon touching it between the eyes, it screeches and leaves, with all others following toward Nightshade. This incident reveals something disturbing about Isla's connection to these creatures, and by extension, to Nightshade itself. The crowd turns on her, accusing her of communicating with the monsters. Though Azul intervenes, the damage is done. Isla collapses from panic, haunted by her vision of Grimm saying, "Come back to me," and wondering if she truly is responsible for the suffering. The coronation disaster forces Isla to confront questions about her identity. Who is she really? Why do these creatures respond to her touch? What connection does she have to Nightshade and its ruler? These questions haunt her as she tries to fulfill her duties to both the wildlings and starlings, people who feel like strangers despite being her responsibility. When visiting the wildling new land, she's shocked to find fewer people than before, and those remaining look weak and malnourished. Despite her feelings of failure, her people unexpectedly bow to her, having learned from Terra that she broke the curses. This moment of acceptance contrasts sharply with her inner turmoil, creating a painful dissonance between how others see her and how she sees herself. As threats mount against Lightlark, Isla becomes desperate to master her abilities. After being attacked by rebels who drag her from her bed in the middle of the night, she realizes she needs greater control over her powers. When one captor touches her raw skin, power explodes from her involuntarily, sending her attackers flying with deadly force. This uncontrolled outburst frightens her. Power without control is merely dangerous chaos. Oro introduces her to Remlar, a winged, blue-skinned being who had predicted Isla would come to him willingly. Despite Oro's threats should Remlar harm her, Isla agrees to undergo a painful procedure to unlock her full potential. When Remlar places his hands on her forehead and heart, excruciating pain tears through her. Her left hand releases darkness that turns everything to cinder, while her right hand creates thousands of blooming flowers. The opposing forces of death and life manifest around her before she collapses into darkness. This awakening of her dual nature, wildling creation and nightshade destruction, unlocks suppressed memories. She remembers encountering Grimshaw, ruler of Nightshade, in a private chamber. Despite planning to fight him, she freezes when he presses her against the wall with clear romantic intent rather than violence. Their passionate encounter ends with her stabbing him with her dagger and fleeing. The combination of her three powers, Wildling, Nightshade, and Starling, overwhelms her senses with voices from nature. Oro takes her to Wild Isle, where her uncontrolled powers can do no harm to living things. She suffers through days of fever, nausea, and pain as her body adjusts to her awakened abilities. Throughout her illness, Oro remains constantly at her side, awkwardly attempting to care for her. During a tender moment, he admits her eyes are his favorite color, not because they matched his preference, but because they became his favorite after meeting her. Isla's journey to master her abilities mirrors anyone's struggle to integrate opposing aspects of themselves. Her wildling powers represent creation and life, while her nightshade abilities embody destruction and death. Learning to balance these forces becomes not just about magical control, but about accepting all parts of herself, even the darker aspects she fears. As Isla's powers grow stronger, fragments of her suppressed memories begin to surface. These flashbacks reveal a complex relationship with Grimm that contradicts her current hatred for him. In one memory, she removes uncomfortable formal attire when Grimm confronts her as Heart Eater, furious about her attempted assassination. Their violent encounter ends with mutual respect for each other's abilities. Another memory shows Grimm training Isla to better control her portaling abilities after threatening to take back her star stick. Despite her frustration, she learns valuable fighting techniques throughout the night. These training sessions parallel her current training with Oro, creating an unsettling symmetry between the two men in her life. Perhaps most disturbing is the memory of Isla attending a wild celebration at Cretan's Crag with Grimm, wearing a revealing black dress and mask as disguise. When Grimm suggests she use her supposed temptress powers to extract information from a target, she reluctantly agrees, trading a ruby for a dancer's revealing outfit. Despite her nervousness, Isla performs on stage, dancing seductively in transparent fabric. She notices Grimm watching her intensely before the thief requests a private show. This memory reveals a side of herself Isla struggles to reconcile with her current identity, someone who could use seduction as a weapon. The memories create a psychological tug of war within Isla. She feels split between her past and present selves, worn down by the emotional strain. At midnight, she portals to Wild Isle to practice her wildling powers, creating defensive thorned plants and bog sand, anything to distract herself from the memories that threaten to overturn everything she believes about herself and Grimm. Back in her room, she notices her deteriorating appearance and tries desperately to remove Grimm's invisible necklace, cutting, pulling, burning, and using both wildling and nightshade powers, all to no avail. This necklace becomes a physical manifestation of her unbreakable connection to Grimm, one she cannot sever no matter how desperately she tries. With Grimm's attack on Lightlark imminent, Isla throws herself into war preparations. She trains diligently with Oro, running beaches and practicing earth manipulation. Their evenings are spent sharing stories over tea, their relationship deepening as they prepare for the coming conflict. Yet even as she grows closer to Oro, Isla's recovered memories of Grimm haunt her. When the Skylings vote on whether to leave Lightlark, Isla makes a bold promise. If they survive, she'll implement democracy for Starlings and step down if someone more capable is chosen. This vision of a better future persuades 100 Skylings to remain, though they lose Azul himself, a devastating blow to their forces. Isla discovers that using pain to fuel her magic creates extraordinary power. She transforms the mainland in a single night, creating massive plant barriers and thorny defenses. When Oro finds her, he's horrified to see blood streaming from her eyes, nose, mouth, and ears. He confronts her about using emotion to wield power, a dangerous shortcut Grimm taught her that could kill her. Despite promising Oro she won't try it again, Isla secretly revels in the transcendent control it gives her. This moment highlights a fundamental difference between Oro and Grimm's approaches to power. Oro advocates for careful control and balance, while Grimm embraces pain as a path to greater strength. Isla finds herself torn between these philosophies, just as she's torn between the two men themselves. Seeking allies for the coming battle, Isla convinces the Vinderlin warriors to join her cause after demonstrating her dual nature as both Wildling and Nightshade. When their leader Syngrid sees her destroy his weapon with a touch, he declares her someone who stands on the line between life and death, a figure of reverence in their culture. She also bonds with Lynx, an enormous black leopard with bright green eyes who was once her mother's companion. Though Lynx initially remains aloof with Isla, choosing to stay in the Wildling forest rather than accompany her to Lightlark, he eventually shares visions of Isla's mother, showing her beauty, her relationship with Isla's father, and even Isla as a baby. This connection to her past provides emotional strength as she prepares for battle. As war approaches, Isla visits the Oracle, who delivers a devastating prophecy. Isla will kill either Oro or Grimm, and both futures are equally likely. This prophecy crystallizes her central conflict. Her heart is divided between these two powerful men, each representing different aspects of herself. Oro represents light, order, and selfless love. He consistently puts Isla's needs before his own, supports her growth, and offers patient understanding even when she struggles with her feelings for Grimm. During an intimate moment, he tells her, "You are my favorite everything," adding that he loves most the parts of herself she seems to dislike. His love is unconditional and healing. Grimm, in contrast, represents darkness, passion, and complicated love. Through recovered memories, Isla learns their relationship was far more complex than simple enmity. In one memory, Grimm saves her life by using his shadows to protect her from a dragon's fire, sacrificing a powerful sword in the process. When she asks why, he simply says, "It is not the most important thing in the world," implying she has become more important to him than power. The war finally erupts with brutal force. Oro unleashes devastating elemental attacks, while Isla commands plants and earth to swallow Nightshades. Their plan works initially, trapping Grimm's forces between Lightlark's main army and Isla's second wave of Vinderland warriors and night creatures. Just as victory seems possible, Cleo emerges from the sea with a massive wave, revealing she fights for her son, believing the other world holds power to resurrect souls. The battle culminates in a spectacular duel between Oro and Grimm, shadow against flame, water, and lightning, until Grimm portals Oro into his own lightning attack. As the wounded rulers battle, Isla makes the heartbreaking decision to reach for her connection with Grimm and take his power, leaving him defenseless against Oro's fury. Just as Oro raises a sword to strike, Grimm desperately bellows that if he dies, Isla dies too. This shocking revelation changes everything. Grimm bound Isla to himself, meaning they share one life. Neither can die without killing the other. This explains why she survived seemingly fatal wounds during the centennial. The word wife unlocks Isla's final missing memories. She sees herself marrying Grimm, and later begging him to erase her memories of killing innocent people with uncontrolled shadow power. She realizes her vision wasn't of Grimm's future atrocities, it was her own memory. She is the monster she feared. As the battle rages with Drex killing Skylings, Isla asks Grimm if he'll stop the attack if she goes with him. Despite Oro's desperate plea, Grimm agrees immediately. Before Grimm can portal them to Nightshade, she turns to Oro and confesses, "I love you, Oro, but I love him too." Because of his flair, Oro knows her words are true. This final confession encapsulates Isla's journey, from a woman who believed herself to be purely good fighting against evil, to someone who recognizes the complexity within herself. She loves both the light and the dark, both creation and destruction. Her divided heart reflects her divided nature, and in accepting both, she finally becomes whole. Throughout the story, hints emerge about Lightlark's true nature. When Isla finds a double-bladed sword called Heart Eater in the forest, Grimm reveals shocking truths. Lightlark is actually a miniature version of another world, created by refugees who fled their original realm. A portal built into Lightlark's foundation could return people to that world, but using it would destroy the island. This revelation transforms our understanding of the entire world. The six realms aren't just magical kingdoms, they're remnants of a greater reality, preserved in miniature like specimens in a museum. The curses that plagued them for centuries were the price of this preservation, a magical containment that kept them trapped in their diminished state. Grimm's goal isn't simple destruction. He seeks to open the portal to the other world for a permanent solution where souls can rise once more. This reframes him not as a villain bent on conquest, but as a revolutionary attempting to restore his people to their rightful place in a larger world. When Isla enters the vault and finds it completely empty, she's confronted by her former guardian, Terra. After a violent battle where Terra easily defeats her, Terra thanks her for opening the portal for us before leaving. Isla realizes with devastating guilt that she has inadvertently helped Grimm achieve his goal. The portal is now accessible. This revelation forces Isla to question everything she's fought for. Is preserving Lightlark worth preventing people from returning to their original world? Is maintaining the status quo, where rulers hold absolute power over their realms, truly the right path? Or is Grimm's revolutionary vision, despite its destructive aspects, actually more just in the long run? These questions have no easy answers, mirroring real-world debates about revolution versus stability, freedom versus security. Nightbane refuses to provide simple moral judgments, instead presenting the complexity of a world where good intentions can lead to terrible consequences, and apparent villains may be fighting for legitimate causes. In the end, Nightbane is a story about choice and its consequences, weaving together themes of free will, predestination, and personal agency. Despite prophecies, curses, and magical bonds that seem to dictate her path, Isla repeatedly asserts her autonomy in ways both subtle and profound. When rebels present her with what appears to be a clear solution, freeing all realms from magical bonds through Oro's sacrifice, she refuses to accept such a binary choice. When the ancient oracle predicts she will inevitably kill either Oro or Grimm, she fights tirelessly to forge a third path, demonstrating that destiny is not a fixed point, but a horizon of possibilities. Even in her pivotal decision to accompany Grimm to Nightshade, Isla exercises choice rather than submitting to predetermined fate. She chooses to embrace all aspects of herself, including her shadow self, her capacity for darkness, and her complicated feelings for Grimm. This self-acceptance extends beyond personal growth to impact the wider conflict. She chooses to halt the devastating battle rather than watch more innocent lives be lost to ancient grudges. Perhaps most significantly, she chooses to acknowledge the validity of her love for both men rather than forcing herself to deny either connection, a decision that defies conventional narrative expectations. This emphasis on choice resonates throughout the narrative in multiple ways. Azul, her first mentor, tells Isla early in her journey, "You always have choices, even when those choices involve sacrifice or pain." Oro demonstrates his respect for her agency even when her decisions conflict with his desires or plans for the realm. And Grimm, despite his history of manipulation and control, ultimately honors her autonomy by giving her the choice to return to Nightshade rather than compelling her through magical means. The story deliberately leaves us with provocative questions rather than neat resolutions. Will Isla find redemption or further corruption in the shadows of Nightshade? Can she successfully navigate the complexity of loving both Oro and Grimm without destroying herself or them? Will the newly discovered portal to the Forgotten Realm bring salvation or catastrophic destruction? These unresolved threads create a delicious tension that propels readers forward, eager to discover how Isla's future choices will shape not only her own destiny, but the fate of all six realms. In embracing complexity rather than simplicity, moral ambiguity rather than clear-cut heroism, Nightbane offers a sophisticated exploration of power, identity, and love. Through Isla's journey, we see how choices, even small ones, ripple outward to affect entire worlds. The story reminds us that the most compelling narratives, like the most fascinating people, contain multitudes, contradictions, and the capacity for both terrible darkness and extraordinary light. It suggests that true strength lies not in avoiding difficult choices, but in facing them with courage and integrity, even when the path forward is shrouded in shadow.